So a thought here. One of the things that was apparent to me, because we've gotten to a point in culture where because there are some coaches who say nothing, nothing matters when it comes to messaging with teams. Well, J.B. Bickerstaff said a lot of things last year. He actually did say things.
Yes.
But the things that he said were things that were coddling and were, hey, let's not have too many expectations. What I really love, listen, I love the offense. I do. I love a lot of the things that we've seen that basically could not have happened if J.B. Bickerstaff was here. But what I love right now is the disparity between Donovan Mitchell's messaging last year and J.B. was stark. Donovan was talking about, yeah, it's a bad loss. We got to get back to winning. We're not having winning habits. Donovan was telling the truth all the time, and JB was sugarcoating it. What I really love about Kenny Atkinson so far is every time I hear something like that from Donovan, I hear a corresponding thing from Kenny that locks in with exact the same. Like, I think that to me is what winning basketball is about.
It sounds like everybody, and it feels like just being around this team, it feels like everybody in that locker room with the coaching staff is on the same page. And I don't think that there's a better, you know, you can bring up the quotes and I think that's very fair. I don't think there's a better example of this than the buy-in that they've had offensively. Because, and with Donovan Mitchell in particular, he is a superstar. It is very easy for somebody who is as good as he is, who has accomplished as much as he has personally accomplished as a basketball player, to sit there and say, this is my team. The offense is going to run through me. I'm going to be the guy night in and night out. I'm the all-NBA player here. I'm the face of the franchise. That's how this is going to work. That has not been what Donovan Mitchell has done. Donovan Mitchell has been more than willing to share the spotlight with the rest of those guys. And part of it is those guys have been more than able to step up into that spotlight. But if you watch the way they play offense, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, but they play offense as if they're a team that doesn't have a superstar. They play offense as if they have to do things with everybody, that they have to share the basketball, that they have to share the responsibility because they don't have somebody that's capable of picking those things up, but they do. Playing like that when you have that star power and you have several guys that are capable of leading the show on a nightly basis, that makes you really, really difficult to deal with. And I think that shows the buy-in they have between the coaching staff, the players in the locker room, just organizationally, they're all on the same page.
While we are talking about the Cavs here, a little bit of Guardians news to pass along is Jeff Passan of ESPN just tweeting out, Guardians bench coach Craig Albernaz withdrew from the Miami job. He had already done so from the Chicago job. He will remain in Cleveland for another year. So that is a good bring back for the Guardians. I'm sure you're going to hear more in Meredith Kane's 2020s as well. But it's interesting because I see a corollary already starting to build between how we treated the Guardians this year and how we treated the Cavs. And I hope to end the end result. Because for most of the season, because nobody came in with expectations for the Guardians, we were all good time Charlies. And somewhere in August when they started hitting, or when they stopped hitting rather, they certainly didn't start.
They did not start then.
The pressure began. And there became this undercurrent of cynicism. And you saw that when they were down the Detroit series, and then you certainly saw it in the Yankee series, where I think most people were where I was. I don't want to say most people. I think there were two camps. There was somebody going, like me, saying, man, it sucks to lose that series. It sucks the way you lost that series. You could have been more competitive, even if in the end you didn't have the bats, or even if you didn't have the arms for it. That series could have looked a lot differently, and for whatever reason, it didn't. But I'm still really proud of this team.
Right.
I still really love this team. The other camp was, and it becomes insidious really, really quickly, became, well, we haven't won a ring in 76 years, and I'm sick of being fourth best instead of 10th best. I can already kind of see that with the Cavs. The two camps emerging of good time Charlies who just are really enjoying this. Because I think the response of, link me up when the playoffs are on, is
good.
So snobbish and so elitist. And I think it's part of ring culture and how
it is.
It's just the most overbearing, tedious conversation. Like, I'm really enjoying this team. And I will, at some point very soon, start to tear apart our expectations for this team, Danny. But the reality is, like, this, if this thing goes to where it goes and they don't get to the end goal of winning the championship, I think it's going to be so much easier to say, I'm proud of those guys. This is a hell of a season, because I think they're going to do it the way that is more exciting and more palatable for fans, which is a lot of offense. And by the way, everybody kind of sharing the load that you talked about.
Right, and I do think that the expectations are where they should be for this team, which is they should be a conference finals team. And nothing we have seen in the first five games, and again, it is five games, it is October 31st, it is very early.
It sounds like you're saying it's not early, it's time to panic.
No, it's not time to panic, but we've seen nothing to refute that they should be a really great basketball team. If they don't win the title this year, that doesn't make it a failure. Just in the same way, the Guardians not winning the championship this year didn't make this season a failure. But if you do reach that step, if you reach the conference finals the same way the Guardians reached the championship, the American League Championship Series, the expectations then, I think, it ratcheted up for the next year. Mm-hmm. So like with the Guardians, I am somebody who was thrilled with how this postseason run went, thrilled with how this regular season went. It was a very fun year to be a Guardians fan, very fun team to watch. But also now, and especially in that sport where they don't have external restrictions on how they can spend, their restrictions are all internal. With the Cavs, it's different because there's, you know, rules.
I know what you're saying. It's just the funny way
there's a salary cap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the Guardians, they should be doing everything they can to make sure they reach that next step this offseason. Where with the Cavs, if they don't get to where they want to be, okay, well, what are you going to do to make it so you do get to where you should be next summer? That is the thing that I look for. But this team, it should be one of the most fun regular seasons that we've ever had in Cleveland. You look at that second LeBron era, which I don't think anyone in this town that is a true Cavs fan would trade for anything. But those regular seasons, because of LeBron and because of what he had already accomplished both here and in Miami, very much could just be wake me up when the playoffs arrive. Mm-hmm. And you could have that elitist thing because the Cavs were all but guaranteed a spot in the finals. I think that this is going to be the most fun regular season that the Cavs have since 2008-2009 when that team won 66 games. Where that regular season, yes, there were postseason expectations, but that team hadn't accomplished anything real yet. Yes, they went to the finals a couple years prior, but then the next year they won 45 games. This team should feel a lot like that team, where they're going to win a lot of basketball games. They're going to be incredibly fun. I don't know if they're going to win the title, but this is going to be one of the most fun regular seasons Cavs fans ever have.
Well, and I think, okay, so I don't want to say that last year, oh, they dramatically fell off their pace because they made it the second round of the playoffs.
Well, and they got hurt. Like that regular season was, if you want to excuse a regular season where they went back on their win total from 51 to 48. I don't have an issue with what happened last regular season because Darius Garland had a nightmare of a year. Evan Mobley missed a bunch of time. Donovan Mitchell missed time at the end of the year. Like that stuff happens. It does. And if that happens again this year, then we might have some questions about why does this keep happening. But also then you excuse, okay, they didn't win 57 games like we thought they could.
So, but I do think this season is about getting back on track. And to me, getting back on track means that by the end of this year, you're not beleaguered by perceptional issues, right? Like Darius's trade value, that's a perceptional issue. Mm-hmm. Darius isn't a lesser basketball player. He had a rough year because of injuries.
Yeah.
But his trade value was killed and diminished by those perceptional issues, by the injuries. So like that, Jared Allen. Like, by the end of the playoffs, whether it's the second round or the third round, because I have a little more wiggle room, like, the goal should be the Eastern Conference Finals. The expectation should be, let's be super competitive and get to the point where you're on the verge of that, and if you get there. Because, again, matchup matters.
It depends who you play.
Yes.
Like, if the Cavs end up as the four seed, and they play Boston in the second round, and they lose to the Celtics in a more competitive series than last year, okay, we can talk about that being a success of a run. If they lose to somebody else in anything less than seven games, I don't know that I can necessarily get on board with this being some massive success.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. This is where the rest of the regular season matters. But I think
right.
my point
but
is,
as I look at things right now, and this is something that is going to change as the year goes on, because there's a ton of time before this actually happens. It's going to change as the year goes on. But as I look at things right now, I can't look at a team other than the Celtics and say, if the playoffs started today, I would pick that team to beat the Cavs. Mm-hmm. I would pick them to beat the Knicks. The Bucks are in shambles. The Sixers, they're just not going to be healthy when the playoffs arrive. I would pick them to beat Orlando, Indiana, you name it. I would pick the Cavs to beat them other than Boston. So as I sit here right now, I have to say, if you lose to somebody other than Boston in the playoffs, I don't know that that's a success.
But I do think there are ways which, whether it's the second round of the playoffs or the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, that by the end of this, people around the NBA will go, instead of, man, the Cavs, okay, there was some good from the Cavs. They beat Orlando. It was kind of wonky. Yeah, they were injured. But basically, looking at the Cavs with skepticism, and like basically you can change that, even if you lose in the playoffs, to, man, the Cavs are going to be a problem. And I think that is, and again, that goes back to how do you look. So it's so funny. Like, I think what you're saying is, and this is fair, like, I think the first five games prove, if you're not going to get hip on this team, if you're not going to hop on the bandwagon, or if you don't care about what happens until the playoffs, I think you're going to miss a lot of really meaningful things with this team, because I think this is just the starting point. You know, the NBA is going to react to what the Cavs are doing,
right?
And then the Cavs have enough talent to react and readjust. And I think, you know, if this is the starting point, it starts to make really interesting with, well, how far can you push this thing? Because, you know, we talked about the importance of, well, one night it's Jarrett, and one night it's Evan, and one night it's Donovan, and one night it's Darius, and some nights it's Darius early and then, you know, Jarrett late. Or, you know, like
that, like last night, it was Donovan early. Like, and I think, yes, it was very important that Donovan came out to a great start last night, because when LeBron is in the building, it does not feel like a normal Wednesday regular season game in Cleveland, Ohio. It feels like a playoff game. And I think Donovan's fast start settled the Cavs down. And then with Evan Mobley in foul trouble, Jared Allen was the best player on the floor for large stretches of that game. That's what the Cavs needed in that moment.
But I think we're so used to, hey, LeBron, carry the ball up, make some magic, get that shot for somebody or for yourself and make the plays. I think we've forgotten. This is how it's supposed to look when you don't have LeBron. And I think that's so important. The regular season implications are you're going to be able to keep Donovan so much fresher.
Right.
And not just fresher, I'm talking about physically, which is huge. Talking about mentally and emotionally.
Right.
And I think it's also going to build up Darius. And I think it is going to build up Evan. And I think it is going to build up Jared. And there might be long-term things we still have to say. Well, can you carry the two bigs? Can you carry the two guards? Those to me are things that are determined by, okay, how does it go beyond this and how does everybody feel? But like when it comes to building a team that can win all together, that's what this regular season is about. And I'll be honest with you. I thought 5 games ago I was, well, I'm just going to keep it low commitment casual here.
Nope, you're all in.
And now now I'm just so excited to see, okay, what are they doing on any given night and how are they reacting? Because last night's a game that, you know, if you're getting called all the fouls on and the Lakers have, what is it, 3 fouls going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it was like they were, the Cavs had committed 20 fouls. The Lakers had committed 3 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Those are the games the Cavs have tripped themselves up over.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is, it's the thing that annoyed me about JB most was complaining about calls. They didn't. They didn't let that stop. They were down at halftime to the Knicks. They didn't let that stop them. And in a game of runs, in a game of momentum, it's not that they're impervious to it, but you can tell that they have more options when the momentum is going against them or when it feels like it is. That's huge. And so in a weird way, I think for some people, they saw 5 games and they said, oh, wake me up when it comes time for the playoffs because I've made up my mind in a good way. No, I'm like, wait. These are our first 5 games? Okay, let's see where this thing can go, because if this is where you start, conceivably, you can reach your ceiling even quicker, and that doesn't mean all about Donovan. It means everybody. And if you can reach your ceiling quicker, that's how you kind of shock the NBA and upset the apple cart.
Right, and if you want to sleep through this and wait until the playoffs, Nick, you're going to miss what I think is going to be an incredibly fun regular season by this team.
Much like
I think
Figardo's.
That this team is absolutely must-watch TV every single night in Cleveland. I do.
216-474-0092. BP, Dick, you guys stick there. We'll get to you in just a little moment here. The question is, are you still, after 5 games, because I am converted, all right? I was wake me up in the playoffs. I'm just going to enjoy the enjoying the regular season. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it so much, I'm probably locked in a lot quicker than I thought I was going to be with the Cavaliers. So I want to hear from you guys on that one. More Cavs talk and Bronny's big moment next on 92.3 The Fan.